Carol in the podcast, Find It. If you think that the election process is anxiety-producing today, you should have seen what it was like in the time of King David. Finding David's successor upon his death was not an electoral process at all. It was more like a bloodbath. David's sons warred with one another, killed each other. One brother raped his half-sister, and they did all kinds of horrible things. This part of 2 Samuel and 1 Kings is called the succession narrative, and it reads like a very violent soap opera. If anyone says to you that the Bible is nice, or that you must live by the Bible's values, just get them to read this stuff. No. As Episcopalians, we believe that the Bible is a complex and confounding and incredibly sacred text. We don't ask you to underestimate it or dumb it down in any way. And yet, we do believe that it is God's word and can change your life as you wrestle with it. But it is not a recipe of ingredients or a list of laws simply. It is so much more. Take it from me. Just read it. So Solomon, David's second son by Bathsheba, remember that the first son died as an infant, becomes the king of Israel. And Solomon is a good choice. Why? Because he knows that he has only become king because God wanted him to become king. Never for one moment does Solomon believe that he did this himself, that it was because he was so smart or handsome or strong that he came to this position. The wisest humans understand that we can do nothing without God. We can't even breathe without God. We put God first and ourselves second. The ego has to take the second chair, and that is a recipe for mental, spiritual, and even physical well-being. We are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The first thing that Solomon does after assuming the throne is to give, to say thank you, and to worship. He goes to what is called a high place. You see, the ancient Hebrews believed that if you were to worship God, it would be better to be high above, on a mountain, on a hill. High places were considered sacred. Solomon goes to Gibeon, and there he sacrifices animals. A brutal practice. Most people did not eat meat back then, but to kill an animal was a ritual that involved a lot of thanksgiving and praise. It was a way of giving up your most valuable possession. People didn't eat much meat. Livestock would be used for the tilling of soil, for milk, for cheese. To give up an animal was to give up a source of food. After the sacrifice, the meat would then be eaten by many. A little of it burned. It was a feast, and it was a big feast. You see, Solomon was a supersized king. He did everything big. Later, he would have wealth that was unprecedented and more wives that he could count. So at Gibeon, he sacrifices 1,000 burnt offerings. What this meant was not only a great gift from him to God, but to the people, for thousands got to eat meat. It was a feast unlike any other. Solomon was wildly generous. Today we don't sacrifice animals on the altar, but we do kill them in great numbers and wrap their meat in plastic. At least back then they did it openly, humanely, gave thanks, and consumed it all. After this great sacrifice and feast, Solomon had a dream. God says one simple phrase to Solomon in this dream: ask what I should give you. Wow, what a question to be asked by God. Ask what I should give you. Solomon could have asked for health, success, wealth, fame. Instead, he asked for the most remarkable thing. But it wasn't just what he asked for, but how he asked that made this moment famous. Solomon began by saying that it was God who had given him the kingship and that he was rather helpless, like a child. Remember Jesus' words? Unless you become like one of these little ones, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Solomon was wise enough to know that he didn't know much. He recognized his humanity. He is humble. He admits to knowing nothing. He says, "I do not know how to go in or come out." And Solomon says that he now has a job to rule over a people who are not only beloved by God, but so many in number that he cannot count them. Therefore, Solomon asks for one simple thing, an understanding mind, in order to discern good from evil. The Hebrew is much deeper and richer than the English. You see, the word leb really means heart, but to the ancients, the heart and mind were linked. They did not have our modern medical concepts, but they knew that within each living body, there was this thing that moved and pulsed, and when you were in love, it pulsed harder and faster, and when you were angry, it beat faster. This was considered the site of all wisdom and of life itself, the heart. An understanding from the heart and informing the mind. But not just understanding, the Hebrew word means awakening. So Solomon was saying, I want my heart and mind to awaken. I want to be aware for wisdom to come from awareness. Today at 9 o'clock, Patty Blunt is going to speak to us. She's a hospice nurse who has written a piercingly beautiful book called Eleanor's Gift about her experiences standing with people who are dying. The reason I asked her to come today is that we have become very ill about dying in our culture, and she can begin to help us awaken to what is going on and how to understand. Patty can help us have an understanding mind and heart when it comes to dying. Atul Gawande, author of Being Mortal, is a physician, a surgeon. He was a non-practicing Hindu from Ohio and jokes that it was awfully difficult to practice Hinduism in Ohio, I can imagine. But from early on, he wanted to know how to be wise, how to truly help people. As he became a doctor, he began to learn so much about the dying process. He says that the key to the dying process is the fact that we are asking the wrong questions. Instead of asking a person how they want to die or if they're willing to fight and be put on life support, we should be asking them how they want to live. When a person gets a terminal diagnosis, we should ask them, what is a great day for you? And then aim to give them that great day, or a number of great days. To be alive is to be terminal. That is what we really don't seem to be clear about. We are all going to die, so the question is, how will we live? Not, how do we die? Atul Gawande had a 15-year-old daughter who was taking piano lessons from a very sweet woman. The woman called him because he was a doctor and told him that she had metastatic breast cancer. Unchecked and untreated, it had spread to her liver, and she was in a lot of pain and didn't have long to live. Atul Gawande thought a great deal about her and realized he needed to ask her this question. What is a great day for you? She answered that she wanted to teach her students some more piano lessons. So he worked with hospice to get her just enough medication to be able to teach. So she wasn't dull or sleepy, but not in great pain either. For 4 weeks, she taught her students. Then they had a recital, and she gave each one of them a gift and told them how very special they were. She died shortly thereafter. Atul's daughter was so moved by this experience that she ended up going to Berklee School of Music. Her teacher had taught her not just about music, but about how to be alive, and to be most alive is to give of yourself. In our liturgy, we pray, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Every Sunday when we say this prayer in church, we're basically asking what Solomon asked, for an understanding heart, an awakened mind. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. And before we eat this mysterious bread of life that is Jesus himself, in the communion service, the celebrant says, the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Feed on him in your hearts. You see, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. I will become that animal that dies so that you may live. You can eat of from my source, my life, my body, and my blood. And as we walk up to communion, we should pray for an open heart to receive this great gift, an awakened mind, a heart that is fed on the living bread, a person that asks the true questions that can discern good from evil. Solomon, you made a good choice. Thank you for joining me in the podcast, Find It. Remember that if you keep searching for the divine presence, you will find it. I want to invite you, if you're interested in hearing more of these podcasts, to subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button and you will be informed of new episodes. And before we part ways, I pray that God will bless you and hold you, give you peace. Until we meet again.